107.9.
Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah.
Time now for the Empowerment Hour here on Praise 107.9, presented by the Jacksonville Urban League and First Thursday Jacksonville. And now, here's your host, Dr. Richard Danforth of the Jacksonville Urban League and Larry Williams of First Thursday Jacksonville.
And Jarmin Leitner. Good morning, Jacksonville, and welcome to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. It is a wonderful Saturday morning, and we are just blessed to be here. So we thank all of our listeners for tuning in. The number here in the studio is 831-1079. That's 831-1079. And we just invite our listeners throughout the show to call in with any questions or comments about any of the topics that we are discussing. Again, here on the Empowerment Hour, we desire to bring information to the city in regards to what's going on locally as well as nationally, in an effort to empower the residents and motivate you to become involved with the community. So we have a lot of things that are going on today. Good morning, Larry.
Hey, good morning. Happy Saturday, everybody, and I hope you can hear me.
Yes.
It's another Saturday morning, and I'm so happy to have the opportunity to speak with our listeners for one more time here on a Saturday, the Empowerment Hour. So how are you doing, John?
I'm doing wonderful, wonderful this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We have to rejoice in spite of all the things that are going on, Larry. So we're going to get started, I guess, a little bit on a lighter note, since there are so many changes going on with these laws and rules that are being implemented nationally and locally. But the Trump administration, it looks like they're getting ready to tighten the rules to qualify for food stamps. And that's going to affect a lot of people. It's going to affect maybe possibly more than 3 million people will lose food stamp benefits because of the new rules that the Trump administration is putting out.
Yeah, well, John, there again, you know, it shows you that this administration, the Trump administration, places higher value on rules and regulations in tightening the belt on poor people than they do on the elite people in the country. You know, we can go and spend $3 billion on a partial wall, but we want to take away the food stamp, at the, you know, the safety net for people that really need the food, and that they use that to sustain themselves until they can get themselves on a better working level to get a job and go out and take care of their family.
Yes, okay, so according to the rules, it's going to require more poor people to work for the benefits, and it's also going to change the calculation for the poverty threshold. So the required amount of income is going to be different in order to qualify for the food stamps. In addition to that, they certain stores like Walmart and even Amazon have opened up online grocery shopping for food stamp recipients, and some of these stores, most of them deliver now. I believe Walmart delivers. Yes, we know Amazon delivers.
Yeah.
But now food stamp recipients can order groceries online.
Okay, so Amazon has big sign out, neon light saying, "We accept EBT now, y'all."
Yeah, well, there's an acceptance of EBT, so it's going to be convenient for some of the elderly and disabled, those who can't get out to do their grocery shopping.
But Jarman, don't you find that kind of irrational, though? You're cutting the food stamps, but at the same time, you're offering delivery service to the food stamp recipients.
Yes, over 3 million are going to lose the food stamps, but those who will maintain the food stamps, they will be able to shop online. So I know you.
So, but are they saying how many are going to lose their privileges?
It could affect more than 3 million people. Lose benefits.
Well, this administration is sure for helping the poor and the less fortunate in the community, aren't they?
No.
I mean, they take away their health care benefits away, and now they take the food substance away. It's amazing how they can just try to balance the budget on the backs of poor people.
Yes, Larry, you mentioned something about the money for the wall. So we see here that there's money that's going to be cut in the area of food stamps, but Trump was approved the use of Pentagon funds, I believe almost $3 million, in order to...
$3 billion.
Not million. No. Okay, almost $3 billion to start building... And that's just to start, correct? Just to start building the wall.
Well, yeah. And it's a partial wall on the southwest border of the United States, where I think it's near El Paso borderline, Mexico. And it's, that's the $3 billion down payment on the $25 billion wall that Trump promised his constituents during the time he was running for election. So basically, he's killing two birds with one stone. He's satisfying the constituents that have approved that wall and to keep the immigrants out. Number one, it was a silly opportunity thing in the first place. Berlin tore down their wall, and the Great Wall of China came down. Now we got the Great Wall of Trump going up. How ridiculous is that?
Yes, and I see, that Trump tried a couple of ways to get this money. Initially, he was trying
Absolutely.
To access
He's stealing
it
from the public.
He was trying to access the funds in a different manner from the general funds, but he was able to bypass being blocked by Congress and access
it. Congress blocked him, and so did every lower court about getting this money, and he takes it to a stack debt Supreme Court,
the Supreme Court,
to get it authorized to use those funds.
So the Supreme Court ultimately has the final say so, and they have approved the use of the funds for him.
Yeah, that's as far as it is concerned right now. But I think if they take this back, if Congress has one other option to deny these funds from being used for this purpose, they're using military funds to fund a wall that accomplishes nothing.
And
you can't build a wall high enough where people can't go over it or under it. It's ridiculous.
And
but when I said about killing two birds with one stone, one was to address his constituents. The other is to reward his buddies who will get the contracts to build this wall that accomplishes nothing.
Right. And so when you're talking about contracts, that makes me think about a lot of the challenges that we try to bring to the surface here locally in Duval when it comes to small businesses having access to some of the contracts, such as construction, even demolition projects that go on locally. And it's reported that Jacksonville actually had the second largest percentage of growth in private businesses that pulled in more than $1 million in revenue in the United States. And that's because Jacksonville is a hub for transportation. So the seaports, railroads, interstates, access to multiple airports, and there are opportunities for contracting in transportation. I know logistics is big here in Jacksonville. Is that correct, Larry?
Yeah, well, the thing of it is, Jarman, is that the Jacksonville is a great city. It's in a unique situation, sitting where it does on the ocean. You know, it links in with the ports of Savannah, Brunswick, and down to Miami and the larger ports, Fort Lauderdale. It's a strategic opportunity because I think it's the closest connection to shipping to Canada. China. So it's a unique deal, and it's identified that way when you notice that the First Lady was there yesterday, and the Vice President Pence in Jacksonville touting the growth of that particular city. And although it's growing and it's a large business opportunities there, you know, we're still not seeing any of the economic fruits filter down to African American and Hispanic community.
Absolutely, and which a lot of those a lot of the small businesses are in those communities, and we're not seeing equitable opportunities for these businesses to participate in some of this growth that's going on in Jacksonville, which is great that there is growth, but again, it's limited to certain private businesses, and there's not a lot of opportunity for all.
Yeah, and John, that's where we need to get off our butts too, and start building companies and businesses that are relatable to these opportunities that present themselves. Half of it is on the city and the government for not creating opportunities for small businesses owned by minorities and people of color, but also the small businesses, the African American businesses, need to start putting themselves and making themselves attractive to the contractors and go out and start soliciting that business. Because that's the only way that you're going to get business, is to go out and earn it. But at the same time, you need to have the playing field level so that when you do meet the qualifications, that you have an equal opportunity to participate.
Yes, and again, doing the due diligence and the research to understand what is needed in order to meet the qualifications and be prepared to present yourself for the contracting opportunities to possibly have a chance at getting a contract.
Yeah, and we need to step out of these roles as small businesses where we always try to start and duplicate something someone else is doing. That ship has sailed. There are other types of businesses that you can get involved in that has a much higher growth rate and sustainability than recreating the past. So let's start thinking outside the box. If you're talking about logistics and so forth, Jacksonville is a prime area, but there's so many different opportunities within that industry that you can get involved. But we're not taking advantage of those.
And also, we're not taking advantage of the benefits of collaboration. A lot of the private businesses understand the value of collaborations and teamwork.
In order to collaborate, you got to have trust. And from what we see on a day-to-day basis, as far as trust is concerned in these communities of color, there is none. There's a lot of divisiveness in the individualism, but not a lot of collaboration.
Correct. And that's what we need to work on. So we're getting ready to actually take a music break. Remember, the telephone number here is 831-1079. That's 831-1079. I am Jarman Lightner in the studio this morning, and joining me on the line is Larry Williams. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back in a moment.
Sleeping, too afraid of what might show up while you're dreaming. Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. And every day you try to pick up all the pieces, all the memories that somehow never leave you.
Nobody, nobody, nobody sees you. Nobody, nobody will believe you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows. Somebody sees you. Somebody, somebody will never leave you. God only knows what you've been through. God only knows what they say about you. God only knows how it's killing you. But there's a kind of love that God only knows. Misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over. Oh, for the lonely, for the ashamed, the misunderstood and the ones to blame. What if we could start over? We could start over. We could start over.
Amen. That's right. That's the kind of love that only God knows, and you just have to give it to him through Jesus Christ. So welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I'm Jarmin Leitner, one of your co-hosts, and joining me on the line is Larry Williams. And we are back from our music break so that we can continue our discussion about what's going on locally and nationally. So we were talking
about... Hey, Jarmin, I'm not sure what you said then, but tell Steve... I'm hearing music, and I can't do this like this, so you have to switch something on there.
Okay, so we're having a little bit of technical difficulties with him, Larry hearing some music and on his side. But we're going to continue talking about what's going on locally, starting with the Duval County Public School Board. The referendum.
Jarmin. Okay.
The referendum for the increase in the sales tax has been the hot topic for the past few weeks, and Duval County Public Schools had requested to seek outside legal counsel, but that request was denied, Larry, forward with getting this on the ballot so that voters can make a decision on whether they want this half cent sales tax increase in order to benefit the renovation and rebuilding of the schools.
Well, Jarmin, again, here we go again with this sales tax deal. I think as we talked ad nauseum last week about, at least I was, about this sales tax and the effect that the mayor and the city council are in lockstep to block it. And they did, and I think, first of all, I think the school district was wasting their time even going to the general counsel seeking permission to seek outside counsel. I think that the charter allows for the school board, if they deem it necessary, to take this matter to court over the, and including the general counsel if they need to. But I see that in lieu of that, a couple of ex-Curry aides and strategists have offered their services to the city, to the school, Duval County School Board, to help get that ballot, get that referendum on the ballot for the folks to vote on. It seems to strike me as ironic that two former Lenny Curry aides would come in and try to rescue the deal. The thing of it is that, like everything else, everybody wants to get paid. So these two guys are asking the board's chairman, chairwoman Lori Hersey, to approve a budget approve a contract for the two of them. And we're talking about Sam Moussa and Tim Baker, a contract for them to represent the school district on behalf of the 1.5% sales tax. So they want to come in.
So are they legal? Are they attorneys? Or
they're consultants. They would become effectively lobbyists for the school board and advocacy for the school board. So it's legal. You can do that. They're offering services. And they're offering services the school board needs, obviously, to get this referendum on the ballot box. But, Moussa and Baker's contract that they're asking for, the proposal they presented, is for $12,500 per month over the next 3 years. Okay? So the budget...
Just to help with the... Wait a minute, Larry. Just to help to get the half-cent sales tax on the ballot, and they want $12,500 a month for the next 3 years in order for that to happen when Duval County Public Schools is seeking for that to be on the ballot in November. That was the initial goal. So now it may not make it to the ballot until next year.
Because they've stalled it. The current administration has stalled this long enough so that it doesn't have time now to get on the November ballot. Okay. Now they have to look towards 2020 getting it on the ballot. But in the beginning the city council had already offered that opportunity to put it on the ballot in 2020. So why would we as the taxpayers pay these guys $450,000, almost $500 million, to represent the school board and getting this thing placed on the ballot in 2020? Another opportunity to milk the money from the taxpayers through the school board, and that's ridiculous.
Couldn't that money be allocated towards something if there is $12,500 to spend?
There is no
okay.
money. They made a proposal asking them to come out of their general fund, asking the school board to come out of their general funds or their reserves for, this $450,000 that would help them lobby, quote, unquote, and seek advocacy in getting the school board and the mayor and the city council on board to allow this referendum to be put before the voters.
Okay, have they identified any tactics that they would use in order to, possibly be successful with getting, through to the city council and the mayor's office?
Yeah, it's what they proposed is that one of the things that's keeping this bill, ask for the sales taxes is build out, what this plan should look like, instead of just saying it's for repairing and building new schools. It would have some meat to the strategy, so to speak. And so, in other words, the plan is not in accordance to these two guys, elaborate enough and identifiable enough to implement the tactics. So if you have tasks and you're trying to do a presentation or build a scope of work, you have to identify in detail what that scope of work is. Okay. They're claiming that the school board hasn't identified clearly enough what the money would be used for, thus not making the city council and the mayor comfortable with putting this on the ballot. So they're saying that they can go in, bring clarity to the ask for the half-cent sales tax, and then make the proposal elaborate enough that it justifies the $1.9 billion.
Okay.
So and I agree with that to a certain extent, John, because if you recall, when we first heard about this half-cent sales tax, and when it was first introduced, it was in bullet points. You know,
mm-hmm.
So you don't take any. You know, how can we take anyone serious when they give us an ask of $1.9 billion and haven't thoroughly thought out the strategic parts of how and what that money was going to be used for? Eventually, the superintendent came forward with a plan that, you know, was elementary at best in the proposal part of it. No, it wasn't identifiable enough for the tactics and strategies that would be used to, if the district was taking that to a bank, it would never get funded.
Okay.
So they worked on that some, and now we get to the point where it was turned down and never told, the public was never told why it wasn't acceptable.
Well, Larry, it sounds similar to, the process of getting approval when it comes to small businesses and a business plan, and you're presenting your business plan and asking investors or banks for money. If your business plan isn't solid enough, then you have to go out and hire professional consultants such as yourself, Anchor Global Business, as to help the small business get that plan up to the level that it needs to be in order for it to have a greater chance of getting approval.
Yeah, thank you for that plug. I appreciate that. the check's in the mail. Again, that is a good a segue, gentlemen. As we talk about using experts, and as I said, I don't have a problem with the group coming in and saying that hey, for $12,500 a month. Matter of fact, that reminds me, I need to raise my rate. These guys are getting the highest appeal. But anyways, it's a big deal because, again, it seems to me if the school board and the superintendent were serious about this, they would have already engaged some consultant outside of their own RAM of competence. And any good business person could tell you that if you took that before the mayor and the city council, that it didn't have enough meat to it to justify, you know, to ask again. You know, you put a half proposal out there and think that you're going to get it on the referendum just because you're saying you're doing things for kids and nothing mm-hmm. in there directly relates to the kids, aside from giving them some new facilities to work in.
Yeah, so we have to have the details and all the information that is needed in a master plan to present to the city council in order to get it approved. I believe it's the finance committee and the rules committee, correct?
Right, that's right, it. Correct, John. And the bottom line, though, it wasn't and it still isn't about the meat of the proposal. It's about, who's going to handle the financing. And it sounds to me that the city council and the administration aren't comfortable with with the superintendent and their staff handling the $1.9 billion that would be generated by this half-cent sales tax. That's just a personal observation from, you know, what I see that's happening and the history of this administration and city council, which is now the current council.
Well, We're coming up on another music break, Larry. So our telephone number, as we ask our listeners to call in and share any of their comments or questions, that telephone number is 831-1079. That's 831-1079. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
I'll be committed to you. I'll never leave you. Nothing in this world could make me walk away. No matter what life may bring, I'll be by your side. No matter what you face, you won't be lonely.
Right, forever. Thank God we can count on him forever to love us. So welcome back to the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9. I am Jarmin Leitner in the studio, and joining us on the line is Larry Williams. And we are back just discussing what's going on locally. We like to bring information to our listeners about what's going on locally in the Duval County area, as well as what's going on a national level. And we have been talking about what's going on Duval County School Board. And, you know, Larry, school will be starting soon. We have a couple more weeks. Summer is still hot, most definitely. But I'm sorry, Larry.
I said, is that time already? So just pretty much the kids just got out of school.
I know.
They're getting ready to go back to school. Huh?
Yes, this summer went by pretty fast for me as well. I can't believe that my two are getting ready to go back to school in a couple of weeks. So there are a lot of, you know, events that are going to be coming up. So we just encourage our residents to look out for a lot of backpack giveaways, donations for supplies and clothing and shoes that are going on across the city. A lot of churches and nonprofit organizations always get involved when it comes to the back to school time and getting students prepared for what they need. And I mentioned that it is summer and it's still hot, and we need to still be aware of our children and whether they are in the cars when we're leaving them in the parking lot or when we're going somewhere, we need to make sure that we take our children with us. But because this is such an issue, Larry, the House of Representatives introduced the Hot Cars Act of 2019, which is going to require an audible vehicle warning in all vehicles now that would alert drivers that someone is in the back seat if the engine is turned off. So once the car is off, this audible vehicle warning will notify the driver if someone is still in the back seat.
But gentlemen, look now, come on. Okay, so another solution seeking a problem, right? People know when they leave something in the back seat, whether it's a child, a bag, or something else. Just because
I don't always know I leave a bag in the car, but I do know if I leave my children in the car.
Well, again, but I'm talking about the nuance of creating another gadget that has to be built into these cars that won't be. It would probably take 3 to 4 years to get through the manufacturing stage of installing that. And again, it's almost like people. You have warnings on your seatbelt, right? When you get in your car, if you don't fasten your seatbelt, the beep goes off, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People that are not going to wear a seatbelt don't hear that. They don't care whether it's beeping or not. They're not putting the seatbelt on. So it's the same thing with this deal. They already know that child is in the back seat. You know.
I would hope not, Larry. But it I'm sure
no,
it
come
is.
On. Come on. Now you'd have to be. Inebriated or something, not to recognize that a child is in the back seat of the car, and also you're leaving that child there because you're not wanting the child to be exposed to what you're doing on this errand that you're running. That's too much for the child to see, or you're too busy to try to get to it to take the kid with you. So I don't buy into that program, and it's another. Again, another solution to a problem that doesn't exist.
Right. It was two children yesterday from New York City that died in the hot car, and the dad just said he forgot his kids were in the car.
Wow.
Well, he must have been on something then. Don't tell me that you forget your kids in the car. You know, that's ridiculous. The kids probably said, "Dad, where you going?" Oh, I'm going somewhere. He forgot those kids were in the car. They need to put them in jail.
And well, it's being reported that that Texas ranks number one and Florida number two when it comes to child vehicular heat stroke deaths, from being left in the car. So
again, those would be natural states for it to happen, right?
Yeah, they're two of the hottest states, and then California's third. So that's the third one of
right.
the third.
Yeah, and then probably Vegas the next. So you can just go down the line. Again, people are going to do things. People are going to be people, and you can't force them with bells and whistles to do things that they don't want to do in the first place.
Well, all we can do is encourage our parents to watch out for those children and keep them safe. There's a school.
Well, 99.8% already do. It's the ones that don't are the ones that get the those squeaky wheels get the oil. And just like anything else, when something happens, we overreact instead of finding a solution within that available already. We'd want to go and create another gadget that is again going to make cost of buying a vehicle is going to go up because of this new gadget that has to be added. So it's always about the money.
Well, speaking of problems and solutions, Larry, this is interesting that a school district in Texas, they are enforcing a drug testing policy for their students in grades 7th through 12th grade. And if these students are tested positive, that will affect their ability to participate in the extracurricular activities offered by the school, and there are a lot of nice extracurricular activities in this particular school district. It's not just football, baseball, and basketball. They have lacrosse, volleyball, golf, wrestling. There are a lot of extracurricular activities in this particular district, and they're going to start doing random drug testing for our students in grades 7 through 12. So how do you think that would go over, just if that went nationwide, all school districts began drug testing those students?
Well, again, they need to drug test the teachers, too.
I think that policy is already in place if they want to that policy is in place to randomly test teachers if there is suspicion.
There again, the double standard. Okay, if there's suspicion, why do we have to test the children just because? Okay, if there's suspicion, then yeah, test them. But if not, why are we going to, again, you're assuming everybody's guilty instead of assuming that the kids are innocent. And again, we go back to that 90 plus percent factor that most kids do what they're supposed to do and aren't high or drug on when they come to school. But our remedy to that is let's test them. Let's test everybody. You know, again, if you're not going to test the teachers at the same rate that you test the students, then you shouldn't test anybody.
Yeah, I believe the article reports up to 10 times per year is how often they would test.
So
the
once
students.
More than once a month.
They could possibly get randomly tested. That's correct. And Larry,
it's so ridiculous.
We have a caller on the line this morning. All right. Good morning, caller. Is it Eugene?
Yes.
All right. Good morning, Eugene. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Quick point in regards to the school board program.
Okay. Could you speak up just a little bit for me?
Okay.
Okay.
In regards to the school board program.
Okay.
Let me get off the comments. I'm hoping that I'm feeling pretty good that this is going to eventually get through. But prior to that, that there's some literature and some big brothering in place so that the money is distributed fairly and equally, and minority vendors get an opportunity to bid the contracts.
Mm-hmm.
Point number one and point number two, that this doesn't happen again, that there's a comprehensive maintenance program in place so that you don't have Billy Bob's air conditioning company because someone knows somebody down at the city hall having all the contracts to maintain the schools, and we fall right back into what we're in again. So I'll take your comments off the air.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for sharing.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. All right, Larry. We had a caller.
I have no idea what he said.
he made a comment in regards to the referendum, and he thinks that he believes, from what I understand, he said that it is going to pass, but there needs to be some type of comprehensive evaluation or some type of policy to keep the larger organizations from getting all the contracts, and not the small businesses being able to get an opportunity to participate in the renovations and the building of these new schools once everything is passed. So that
well,
was his comment.
Again, you know, that's a good observation, but you don't want this to have input after the thing is passed. You got to have the input before. You have to have the input into the process and the system so that it's already a mechanism in place before these contracts are even considered to be awarded. After the money has been allocated, it's too late. You're not going to get in on anything tangible as far as the contracts are concerned, because most of the awarding of the contracts is based on the RFPs that will be issued. And the people that are putting the RFPs together aren't thinking about if they're making these RFPs to, readily identify with certain types of businesses.
So,
and if you're not at the table helping create these RFPs, these requests for proposals, then you're going to be left out. So we got to get to these deals before scope of work is identified. That's when we need to be, negotiating and carving out a piece of the pie.
So while the master plan is being presented, businesses need to be ready and available for when it is approved in order to take advantage. Is that what you're saying? it doesn't.
No, I'm saying that you need to be there when the master plan is being created.
When it's being developed. All right.
Correct.
In order to participate. Okay, so we are coming up on our last segment of the hour, and that is our Entrepreneur Corner. We get so excited about this time, Larry, and we're hoping that the residents of the city kind of takes hold of that and takes a part in this opportunity to share your services or products to this community as a small business. That's the only way that we're going to know that you're out here and that you're available and that you can potentially grow by putting yourself out there and letting people know what you offer. So our telephone number is 831-1079. That's 831-1079. Again, we're coming up on our Entrepreneur Corner. No-cost marketing for you. And we're going to go ahead and take our music break. This is the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and we'll be back.
The new Praise 107.9, the ultimate gospel experience.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious.
We are victorious. We are victorious. Nothing can conquer us. We are victorious.
Yeah.
Touch the ball. We are victorious.
If you're victorious, put your hands together.
Welcome back. We're here on the Empowerment Hour on Praise 107.9, and I am Jarmin Leitner in the studio along with Larry Williams on the line. And we are in our fourth segment of the show, which is our Entrepreneur Corner, where we ask our small businesses to call in and let the community know about their services or products. And we have a couple of callers on the line this morning. We have Ms. Terry Jones. Good morning, Terry. Hello, Terry. Are you there? Okay.
Yes.
All right. Good morning. Can you lower?
Hi. How are you?
Doing well. If you have your radio on, can you lower it, please?
Okay. Interesting. Okay. I turned my radio off.
Okay.
I mean, my radio is not on.
It's not on. Okay.
I hear a radio though.
Okay. Okay. Well, go ahead and share with us your services. Okay, Terry. Hello. Okay, looks like we lost one of the callers. All right. Good morning. Do we have another caller? Okay, Steve.
Hey, Steve. Can you hear me?
They're not on the line. Okay, so if you want to call back and share your services or products, the number is 831-1079. That's 831-1079. Couldn't hear those couple of callers just then. Okay. All right, Larry. So we're going to move forward with continuing talking about these bills that have been passed again.
Well, we're not going to talk about too much. I can't hear.
You can't hear either, so I apologize. We're having some technical difficulties near the end of the show. But I'm going to go ahead and move forward in talking about what is going on with some of the bills, again, that have been signed by Governor DeSantis. Okay, so we've talked about the Hot Cars Act that has been put in place. And then we also have a couple of bills in regards to the healthcare industry and as well as the agriculture industry, Larry. So Governor DeSantis has signed a bill to create a state hemp program that will be administered by the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services, which sounds like another opportunity for businesses to get involved. I think we have another caller. Good morning, caller. All right, they're still not, still can't hear them, Steve. All right, so again, there's a bill that has been passed in order to cultivate hemp, and also it addresses the issues such as the licensing of those who want to grow hemp. And if you want to get involved in that, you can contact the Florida Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to find out some more information about it. So we're having some more people that are trying to call in, so we apologize for the technical difficulties. All right, Larry, are you there? Okay, he's not on the line either. All right. So the additional bill that Governor DeSantis signed was in reference to health care. So now you insurance companies cannot deny people regardless of pre-existing medical conditions. Before, insurances were allowed to do that, but this particular bill, it takes those parameters off, and people with pre-existing medical conditions have to be considered, even if it's more on a short-term basis. All right, Larry, are you back?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
All right, yes, I'm back. And man, that's listening to loud music while you're trying to talk is very difficult. And I still hear the music softly in the background. So it's just, if you guys can hear me, that's great.
Yes, we can hear you.
What was the topic, Donna?
Just sharing with the listeners about the bill, some of the bills that have come across the table from Governor DeSantis, the one that allows the hemp to be cultivated, as well
correct.
As the one that takes off the limitations of the pre-existing medical conditions for patients. You know, the healthcare insurance they have to offer insurance regardless of a pre-existing condition now.
Okay.
I think we do have a caller. Let me see if we can hear them. Good morning, caller.
Good morning. My name is Donna Jones. How are you?
Doing wonderful. How are you?
I'm fine. My name is Donna Jones.
Okay, Donna, tell us about your service or products.
Yes, ma'am. I offer financial services and products. Specifically, this morning, I wanted to offer a product called Student Loan Freedom. And that's to people who have student loans. It's literally a phone call to see if we can reduce or get your student loan forgiven. Of course, we offer insurance products, annuities, and retirement vehicles. But today I wanted to focus on people who have student loans.
Okay. And if they want to call and see if they qualify for a reduction or forgiveness of those loans, what's that telephone number?
My telephone number is area code 404. Again, that's 404-484-3012, and I'll be happy to help.
All right, that's 404-484-3012. You can contact Donna Jones if you have some questions about whether you can reduce or have your student loan forgiven. Thank you so much, Donna, for calling in. All right, I believe we have another caller, Steve. All right, that would be great to get some student loans forgiven if you have some out there lingering or get them reduced, so you can give Donna a call to see if you qualify. All right, we do have another caller. Good morning, Terry.
Hi.
You're back, Terry?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm here.
Okay, Terry.
The question I have is, it was mentioned to be at the table at the development stage. How do I find out more information about being there at the development stage as a small business owner?
Okay, at the development stage of what's going on with Duval County Public Schools and getting
correct.
Involved in the okay in the build in the renovations. Okay, Larry, a caller's asking how can she get involved in the development stage of, you know, what's going on with Duval County Public Schools and the referendum. Okay, Larry. Okay, so we're having technical difficulties with that. If you'll hold on a moment, Terry, and we can get you some information about it off of the air.
Okay, then.
Okay, all right, thank you. All right, Steve. Okay, so that's good that she's calling with interest in how to get involved in what's going on in the city so that we can participate more as small businesses in these contracts. And I know before we have mentioned going down to city council, going and participating in the meetings, and also making sure that our voices are heard, that we sign up and take that 3-minute opportunity to express how we feel about what's going on in the city and present it to the city council. That's one way to get involved with what's going on with the referendum. Okay, again, we have a couple of more bills that DeSantis has signed. We have another bill that is in regards to hospital regulations. There used to be a certificate that needed to be approved in order for hospital facilities to be built or to add on to their facility. And there's another bill that requires that they don't even have to deal with that anymore. There's another call. Okay, Larry, you're back?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we're having...
I've asked that so many times today, and they should have just put it on recording. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Hey, look, I just want to address the caller
okay.
that was asking about, getting ahead of the game, so to speak. And that's my, number one, finding out who your school board district person is. Each district of the city, county is broken to many districts. And so what you want to do is find out who's in your district. You know, call them and talk to them and ask them these questions, because they're the ones who are going to be able to let you know when these when you need to be present at meetings. But in the meantime, you can just go onto their site online and look up the information. And first of all, go to these school board meetings. That's where decisions are being made. Now, let folks know what your capabilities are as a business, as the mayor's ex-aide did. And you don't always have to wait for a request for a proposal. You can present a proposal to the school board without having to wait on them. They always, if you know the right deal and you have the right things to offer, they're willing to listen to things that are going to help them improve what they're doing. So sometimes unsolicited proposals are presented to the school board and to the city council. So the city council, you need to look at where those committee meetings, when those committee meetings are being held, and try to get access to those meetings. They're public meetings. They should be public meetings, or else you can call an error and call the sunshine law on them. You have to do some research. So it's a lot of things that go in, but in order to be there, you have to go to these meetings where these decisions are being made, not when the city council is voting on it on the Tuesday night when they give you 30 seconds to try and encompass a 30-minute proposal.
Okay, I'm glad you said that. It's 30 seconds and not 3 minutes?